I think I'll apologize in advance. Tonight, at least the start of it, is going to be a little bit wordy, but it is going to sort of frame what we're gonna do for the rest of the year. And of course, you are always welcome to jump in with questions. So I just want to recap a little bit what we've been doing so far. So far, we have been looking at the sense of self and how to inquire into the sense of self. And the first start we started by saying all of this work that we've done with essence, most likely it has affected your sense of self. So we did an inquiry on this. How is your sense of self different today than before we began all this essence work? Then we did another inquiry where I basically listed out a lot of the kind of changes that people often experience to their sense of self. Just to sort of broaden the view, it's like catching more, right? Are there some of these things that actually has happened to you, but you didn't mention it in the first inquiry? And then in the second evening, what we did was just going through the day, and we were talking about what are the senses of self that pops up. Like what are, sometimes you might feel yourself as the invincible self, sometimes you feel yourself as the defeated self, sometimes as the whatever, right? There's all these different kind of sense of self that pops up throughout the day. And the reason, and first we just did it by like go through your day and see what kind of selves often pop up. And then we did it, you might remember the writing exercise where I said, write about some slightly annoying situation and just see what kind of senses of selves pop up. And this is, of course, if you want to, the idea with this is to say there are all these things that we think are us, but actually they're not. And so a very good way to inquire into the essence of who you are is to first detect all the things you identify with and recognize these are not me. So these are things that come and go, right? They can be subtracted. And if we keep doing this process of subtraction, in the end, you might get a sense of self that is not, that is beyond all of these conditioned sense of selves. Does that make sense? Good. And so what we are going to do probably for the rest of the year is we're going to look at basically we are going to look at all the different kind of things that are in there that people frequently identify with. Recognize them and recognize them as not you. And so we're just going to be very systematic. And I think and for that purpose we are going to today tonight I'm going to introduce you to a couple of models that you already know, but I think they're very nice to put side by side because they're all models that describe the system of different senses of self, so what we sometimes call the personality structure. So I think I'll start with a few definitions here, just so that we are completely clear, because I think with this, it's very important to be very clear conceptually, because all of these things are, these concepts are thrown around and different people mean different things. So, when we look at what's happening inside, there's a number of automatic processes. We have automatic mental, emotional, behavioral processes. And these processes fit together in clusters. So you might have a habit of mind, a certain way of interpreting something in yourself or in your environment. It's just a habit. Every time you see it, you go like, that means this. You don't think about it, you don't investigate it. It's just like a reflex, right? Every single time somebody's late, you conclude that they disrespect you, right? How many have that habit of mind? Yeah, how many do not have that habit of mind? Right, that's also interesting to see that it's possible not to have it. You might conclude something else, right? If somebody's late, you might conclude they have an interesting life and something, or that they are very spontaneous or whatever. Good. Some of you go like, I don't think I could conclude that. That's fine. So, just like we have, if you have that mental habit, it's linked to a certain emotional habit, right? Maybe you often feel disrespected. If you often feel disrespected, maybe you will have a certain kind of anger, and maybe you will have a feeling of not being valued, right? So that's like more of an in the emotional domain. Hello, welcome to. So that's, welcome to. So that's more in the emotional domain. So you have mental habits and emotional habits. And then, of course, you have behavioral habits, because if you are in the habit of interpreting certain things in a certain way, and then you develop certain emotional energy related to that, now you are going to act in a certain way, right? If you always interpret people being late as meaning that they disrespect for you, and then that gets infused with a sense of not feeling valued, right? An emotion of being underappreciated. What's the kind of behavior that naturally comes out of that? Are you going to be livid? You're going to shout at people if they come be late? Or you're going to cut them out of your life if they're consistently late? Those kind of things. So can you see? Mental, emotional, and behavioral patterns. You can find mental, emotional, behavioral patterns that fit together in a little cluster. Make sense so far? We got a ton of these clusters.
You should reassure Caroline this is not about her being late.
Or is it?
She might have just arrived. By the way, Caroline, we just get a census and 80% of the people in this call think you're really rude.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Thank you for the reassurance, all.
Fair enough. But see, that's also something, right? You can say, if you use that, you can say, I don't know, now I'm speculating, right? I'm making a lot of guesswork based on very limited observational data. But something told you, hey, Caroline might take this personally. So it's a good idea your behavior was, let's reassure her that it's not, right? This is not an example about her. What is the mental and emotional aspect that goes with that behavior, right? Mental aspect is like looking out for other people. The emotional aspect might be one of caring or something like this, right? So can you see? We have these clusters and we got tons of them. Now, each of these clusters, this is when we talk about personality parts. When I use the word personality part, I'm just talking about one of those clusters. That's what I mean. And when I'm talking about personality or personality structure, which I use interchangeably, I'm just talking about the whole system of all these little personality parts, right? So when I talk about personality parts, I'm not talking about small people that lives inside of you. Which some people do. Some people take it more like, oh no, these are actual people. or look at them more like that. I go more, no, this is a metaphor. It's a very apt metaphor to talk about these clusters of mental, emotional, and behavioral patterns. Good. So that's personality and personality parts. Now, we have a lot of those. And different models of personality will try to group these into different types of clusters. So when I say we have these clusters, all I'm saying is that we got coherent systems of thought, emotion, and behavior. And in a way that says all of these clusters are the same, right? They're just clusters of emotions and thoughts and behavior. But you can look at all of these and then you can say, no, but these clusters are this sort of clusters. These clusters are this sort of clusters. These clusters are this sort of clusters. For example, in you all know IFS, right? The internal family system. The way they group things there is based on their function. I mean, there's probably some of you who know more about this than me, like Rachel. I know you've done a lot around this, right? It's like, so you might correct me if I'm wrong, but they have, in IFS, they talk about managers, firefighters, and exiles. So these are three different type of personality parts. Some personality parts are managers, some are firefighters, some are exiles, right? These are the three different types. And the way they have distinguished is by saying some personality parts have different functions. Some personality parts just make sure on a day-to-day basis that you avoid encountering painful inner states. They're called managers, right? They manage you on a day-to-day basis. So it's patterns that ensures that you steer clear of uncomfortable spaces. Then sometimes the managers don't do their job properly, or external circumstances brings you into contact with some uncomfortable inner states. Then another class of patterns jumps out. They're called firefighters. So this is when you hit something, like, I don't know, somebody made a mean remark that you hadn't predicted or something like that, or you lose your job or something happens in your life that brings you into a difficult position, a different type of patterns jump in and try to save the situation, right? They're called firefighters. They're not managing you on a day-to-day basis. They are just, it's the kind of patterns that you employ when things go wrong. How am I doing, Rachel? Is it good? Okay. Then there's a third class of personality parts, which are called exiles. Exiles, the function of exiles is more carrying the difficult emotions. So these are the personality parts that formed. Like, for example, if you experienced something traumatic and you felt in a situation, maybe you felt utterly worthless, there's around that feeling developed a certain idea, maybe that you are worthless, and a feeling of worthlessness, and a certain kind of behavior, maybe one of hiding or something like that. These patterns are the patterns that the managers and the firefighters are protecting you against coming in touch with. Can you see how these different, this is one way of dividing up your inner life, your inner personality parts, based on a functional view, right? What that function is. So if you, it says very little about what the patterns are, right? So, for example, you might have a pattern of that is a manager. but saying it's a manager says almost nothing about what it actually does. It says nothing about the mental, emotional, or behavioral pattern. An example of a manager might be thinking, mental pattern, thinking of yourself as superior to others. An emotional feeling of being superior to others, and the behavioral pattern might be acting a little bit arrogant or putting other people down, right? Pointing out other people's flaws. That might be a manager, right? If you're superior, you won't feel inferior. So it protects you against feeling inferior. Make sense? And there might be another personality part that protects you by numbing you out. It can be through substance abuse, it can be through Netflix abuse. Is there such a thing? There should be, right? So, but that's a different kind of dementia. Okay, so this is IFS. It's a functional thing. If you look at Freud's personality structure, it's also kind of a functional thing, but he has three different kinds of functions, right? He got the id, which is all the animalistic, all the wish to pillage and plunder and rape and all these kind of things, right? And then there's the superego, which is all the civilized things, like we don't do that here, right? Behave. You shouldn't do anything that gets you cast out of the clan. And then in between there's the ego, which is sort of like trying to navigate these two forces. And then Marcuse comes along and turns everything upside down and say, well, actually, it seems that because in I think this is a misreading of Freud. Freud is often misread to say that the id is actually the thing that needs to be managed and the superego is the civilized thing and that's the good thing. But even in his title, Civilization, of the book Civilization and Its Discontent, reveals that he has a very ambivalent relationship with the superego. He thinks it's necessary, but he thinks it's a necessary evil because he thinks you have to have it in order not to go around and be horrible to each other and for civilization to work, but actually it's also the reason you are profoundly unhappy because it curbs all these great inner energies. Okay, then if we look at another model that you know very well, the Enneagram, right? In the Enneagram, basically they say, yeah, overall, we have variations of 9 different personality parts, right? That's it. Your personality parts are at the core of your personality parts are just 9 different types. And you have the fixation, which is the mental pattern, and you have the passion, which is the related emotional pattern. And then you got a ton of behaviors that come out of that. But can you see how that's a different... It's a different way of systematizing or categorizing these inner parts, not by function, but by the type of what they actually are, the patterns actually are. Does this make sense? Yeah, so.
Are they just illustrations of different, because I don't know any of these things, IFS or Enneagrams or any of it. But they're basically, you're illustrating the fact that if you did know it, that they are essentially one of the same, which is like sets of patterns, emotional.
They are, if you imagine that you have a lot of these little clusters, each cluster contain a mental, emotional behavior. Okay. And then you say, well, can we categorize all these clusters? Can we group them in some way? Can we say these 9 clusters over here belong to this group, and these belong to this group, and these belong to this group? It's useful to be able to group them because imagine that you are very good at spotting managers. So you can spot managers in yourself all day long. But because you're tuned to looking for that function, you miss the others. In the same way, maybe you're really good at seeing, let's say, your envy and melancholy, right? The 4 in the Enneagram is this, like how you envy other people and then you see yourself as less than them and all these kind of things. You're really good at spotting that one. But maybe if somebody said, might there be a cluster in you that thinks you're better than everybody else? You'd go like, no. But so if you then say, well, here's 9 different patterns, we probably all have a little bit of all of them. It helps you spot sides or parts of your personality structure that you wouldn't otherwise spot.
Got it. That makes sense. Why it's important.
Yes.
And it can be helpful as a stimulation or of ideas.
Exactly. That's it.
Next year. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the inspiration. And we are going to go through some of these models and simply just go one by one and say, can you recognize this in yourself? Can you recognize this is a, when do you have this in yourself? When do you have this in yourself? In order to get a really comprehensive view of your personality structure, right? Because the moment you have a comprehensive view of your personality structure, then you can ask yourself, what am I beyond all of this? But you can't ask that question before you see your personality structure really clearly. You can't ask or look at what is beyond it before you can see it. So thanks for asking the question. That's, of course, very important to clarify. Good. So the two models that I would like to spend a lot of time on, one of them comes from Diamond Approach, Diamond Logos, and it's called the P. The other one is research around, or models that come out of research on narcissism. And I will say a little bit more about, maybe I can say a little bit like you go with narcissism, why that? Basically, narcissism is a preoccupation with self. And a lot of our personality structure is developed because we lost awareness of our true self. And that's why looking at theories of narcissism can really be helpful in spotting personality patterns. I'll say a lot more about it when we get to it. I will start with a P. But I want to show you a few slides. Are you up for this? This is not, I'm not talking too much. Is it good? Cool? I see some. Okay, good. So let me just find the... this one. Good. And I should make it big. Fantastic. And I'll just collapse this thing. Cool. So we've already talked about, this is Freud, right? 3 things there: it, superego, and ego. This is internal family system. I'll say a little bit more. So these are the 3 kind of personality parts. What is beyond personality structure, they call self, and it's characterized by 8 C's, which is like compassion and curiosity and 6 more things that sounds very nice starting with C. And basically, we can map these 8 C's onto the essences. So this is very similar to we have also personality structure, right? And then we have essence, which is what's beyond personality structure. This is the P. I'm going to, don't worry, I know this is a ton of information on one slide. I'm going to talk a little bit, like giving a brief overview of it. And then we're going to go in detail with some of it. You should imagine this as a circular thing, this one speck of light should be like a dot in the middle, and then each of these rows should be concentric circles around that spot, with a negative merging as the outermost circle. But because I like to put quite a bit of text in here, the text would be extremely small if I did it in, I don't know, 15 circles or however many circles there are here. So that's why I haven't done it. But I'm just going to say a little bit about it. So you can see here, this is more like the Enneagram, because each of these, row represents a type of personality part. So in the negative merging let me go here. It's easier to describe. So the aggression is the personality parts that attack your surroundings. And then there's like the iron defense, that is a personality structure that defends yourself, right? This is where nothing gets through. People can give criticism of you that's completely fair, and you say you will have none of it, right? It's like, no, this is absolutely mischaracterization of me, and you're much worse, and stuff like that. Isolation, that is the personality parts that withdraw and isolate, and so on. So these are description of different parts and what they actually do. Now there's an added element, because there's also a bit of functional element in this structure, and that is every single layer here protects against the layer below. Or there. So like the isolation, for example, this doesn't feel very nice. It feels very lonely, and so you know, like defending yourself and even being aggressive, that kind of distracts your awareness from this. So in you can say in IFS language, every single layer is kind of a manager or a firefighter, and then in relation to the layer beneath, which is then an exile, right? But this exile is actually a manager or a firefighter in relationship to the one below, and so on. And it goes all the way down, and then in the center you have something called the speck of light, which is the memory of your true self. One thing that's also a little interesting about this model is that they say every single part corresponds to a different kind of essence. I'll say more about this. Then, so this is just like how each aggression is defense against feeling the rigidity and the coldness of the defense, and the defense is a defense against loneliness, and the loneliness is a defense against the hatred, and the hatred is a defense against the shock, and the shock against the woundedness, and so on. Oops, there we go. Good, so that's the P model. And there's just one more that I'll present to you just to give you the full overview before we dive into the detail. And that is the narcissism. In the narcissism, this is just from DSM-5, which is a description of narcissistic personality disorder. I'm not suggesting that we all suffer from narcissistic personality disorder. I'm just saying here you have something like has a grandiose sense of self-importance, right? Exaggerating achievements and talents, and expects to be recognized as superior without commensurate achievements. And you say, sounds like something, right? Not very nice. But it can be very interesting to ask yourself the question, do I have a personality part, or assume you have a personality part which does exactly this? And then see if you can spot it in real life, right? So in this way, we're going to use this as inspiration to spot sides of ourselves that would otherwise be very hidden. And then the final thing that I want to show is this model. And this is a fairly recent development when it comes to narcissism. And they say, well, actually, a lot of models that describe narcissism describes them as grandiose and exhibitionistic. But actually, there's also a side to narcissism, which is rather vulnerable. It's described with something completely different. And here, again, you can recognize how the grandiose side of narcissism, that is in IFS language, that would be firefighters and managers, and then the vulnerable and sensitive side of narcissism, that would be the corresponding exiles, the things that we are trying to avoid getting in touch with. So this is just all the models placed side by side. And it can be quite interesting to see, like, again, managers, firefighters correspond to this blob and correspond to some of the outer layers in the P. Exiles correspond to this blob and to some of the innermost layers in the P. Okay. Good. Any questions so far? I know this is a lot. Okay. Yes, okay. So, Amanda and then Michelle.
I'm, well, maybe not obviously to people, but I am more familiar with the P. But I listened to Hamid give a very good talk on narcissism, where he said, basically, if you're not realised, you're not you have a level of narcissism, so forget it. In a way, forget not being, and I found that extremely helpful because otherwise you then have a self-image of, oh, I mustn't be narcissistic because that's bad, right? And you defend against that. And I found that really helpful that he just said, forget, there are levels, obviously, there's pathological personality disorders, on that scale. But basically he said, we're all narcissistic, so just kind of relax. I found that very helpful.
Yes, and that is definitely also my view on the thing. And I think the way that I look at it is like I briefly mentioned, I said, when you lose sight of your essence, lose awareness of your essence, right? In other ways, when you're no longer realized, then you don't have yourself and you miss it like crazy. And that's why you are extremely preoccupied with self. You would, if you had yourself, you wouldn't be preoccupied with self because you have it. But when you don't have it or think you don't have it because you can't find it, you are like, well, do you see these images in Sufism, right? You're the maddened lover that is only preoccupied with finding yourself. And that's what narcissism is. It's a deep preoccupation with this, with trying to find the self that you think you lost. And I think that makes it, for me, that makes it, it's not just that you can relax because everybody's got it, so you don't have to worry about whether you have it or not, which I think is a very good point. But it also, I think, cast it in a kinder light. That all the narcissistic traits, right, they're very, I mean, they can cause a lot of harm and damage and stuff like that, but at heart, they're just you longing to get home to yourself. Cool. So, good point. Michelle, you had something.
Yeah, mine was a real practical thing. Are you able to share those slides? Because, like
Yes.
Sol said, some of it is really new to me. So, and any recommendations of pods or videos or anything that you guys have got would be really useful.
Yes. You have, do you all know that you, I'm pretty sure that you all have access to my online courses. I have a couple of pre-recorded online courses. If you go to, okay, if you go to Sensing Mind and to online courses and then click on the go to the course page, they should all be available to you because that's just part of the package when you are on this course.
Amazing.
Yeah, great,
Freebie.
right? How many people knew that? Okay. I should probably say it earlier in the
Missed
course and
memo.
not halfway through the third year. But one of the courses is a course on the Enneagram. So at least there you can see something. But I'll compile something about good
Enneagram is the one that I know,
resources.
the others
Ah!
aren't.
Okay. So yeah. And if anybody has, I mean, not now, but if anybody has good resources where people can learn something about these different models, maybe send me a mail, then I'll compile it and send it out. Or you can share in your WhatsApp group. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm utterly mind blown at the volume of stuff there,
Yeah.
but doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, like, really, for me, I don't need to wrap my head around Enneagrams and family
No.
systems, because we're going to go through it piece by piece.
Yeah.
And I get the family, I get the parts. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose anything by not doing that, am I?
No.
Good.
So that's fine. You don't have to be an expert in all these models in order to follow the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, I think sometimes I like to give references in the say, like, this is where this stuff comes from, right? It's not just me sitting and thinking up these things.
Yeah.
Good. Any other questions so far? Or... Wonderful. Okay, good. Then let me just do here.